and she's one of our many missionary heroes. She's going to come and give a quick testimony. She's been learning the Bible at School of the Bible. She's on staff at the YWAM base in Naples, Florida. We're really proud of this young lady. Give her a good new song. Welcome.
Oh, is it? Oh, there it is. Oh, good morning. Well, now, as most of you know, there are 66 books in the Bible. But did you know that there are 1,189 chapters, 31,173 verses, and if you were to read through the entire thing with no breaks, it would take you about 70 hours and 40 minutes. Now, I had never read through the entire Bible before, and most people, it takes them about a year to get through the whole thing. But I'm here to tell you that I did it in just 3 months. That being said, I just completed my a secondary school with YWAM called the Biblical Core Course in Norway. Excuse me. where I learned how to inductively study the Bible while also learning how to prepare, give a sermon, teaching, and lead a small group Bible study. I am so blessed to have been able to have this experience because I have been able to learn even more about my Heavenly Father and how much He truly does love us. And I also want to thank each and every single one of you for supporting me and praying for me for the past 3 months, because I could not have done it without you. So, that being said, what's next? I will officially join YWAM Naples in exactly 1 month, where I will lead a DTS beginning this September. I cannot wait for this next big adventure where God is allowing me to live out my calling, and now I even have knowledge of the scriptures to aid in that calling. I am so excited, and I can't wait to get started. and lastly, I can say with all confidence that yes, I have read through the entire Bible. Thank you.
All right, let's pray for this young lady. Lord, thank you for Chelsea. Just continue to bless her, use her, work in and through her life. Thank you for all that you're doing, God, in her. Lord, just provide for her as she goes. Continue, God, just to bring great, great fruitfulness for your glory, honor, and praise through her life. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Chelsea. We love you. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to pray over our NECA team at the end of the service. So you guys make sure and not let me forget that, okay? Let's pray as we get ready to dive into the Word this morning. Lord, I just love you and worship you with all of my heart. Pray you just hide me behind your cross, Jesus. Lord, just give me the words to speak this morning that you would be glorified and exalted. God, just speak to all of our hearts through your word. Open our eyes to see your plan, your purposes in each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you this morning. I want to bring this board over real quick and show you a couple of things as we start our message today. A few years back, I had the real privilege of having a doctoral course with a man named J. Robert Clinton. Some of you may know the name. He wrote a book called The Making of a Leader. It's a great book. If you haven't read it, it'd be a good one for you to check out. He's a professor at Fuller Seminary, and I had the privilege actually of taking his last graduate level course on leadership development process. And in that course, I did about a 50-page paper outlining the defining moments of my life. And I had to go through in great detail. And basically, it was looking back at my life to see exactly how God had been moving and working and what the substantial moments were in the timeline of my life that had led me to where God had me. and then to look forward and see how those things might affect and shape my future. It was an incredible experience. I got to tell you that. Absolute incredible experience. And I want to kind of highlight just a few of them for you this morning. And forgive my messy writing, and I'm sorry if you can't see the board. I'm trying to make it where everybody can see it here. How about you guys over there? So born 1964, that's when my story starts. I know that I'm a lot older than you thought I was. But anyway, 1980, got saved. That was a big defining moment for me. I sure wouldn't be here today if I hadn't have had a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. Thank God for my best friend who shared faith with me. And then around 1984, I had what I call a deliverance experience. I had an older gentleman who walked with me through, he counseled me, he prayed for me, he shared with me and helped me get free from some things that quite honestly would have been besetting sins that would have sidetracked me in my life. That was huge. About 1985, I had some friends pray for me. I received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Defining moment for sure. Got a passion to share Jesus with anyone and everyone I could because the Holy Spirit comes to give us power to be witnesses. Amen? And then 1987, I'm going to circle this one right here because I want to talk about this morning. 1986, I took my first mission trip. 1987, I led my first mission trip. 1987, also, I got married. I can't forget that one, right? That better be on there, even though my wife's not here right now. She's packing, I guess. So that was a huge, huge moment in my defining moments. New song, started the church, had children. Those are certainly defining moments, too, big time. Oh, there she is. There's my wife back there. Boy, she's going to let me know she's here. So, by the way, honey, I got to say this is really cool. It's my triple 30. It's our triple 30. I guess you could put it this way too, triple 30. But it's 30 years of ministry, 30 years of marriage, and 30 years of missions for Tracy and I this year. Isn't that something? Isn't that cool? You really ought to give Tracy a good hand because anybody who could put up with me for 30 years really deserves a good hand, that's for sure. Yeah, see, I knew you'd agree with that. I knew you'd agree with that. That mission trip changed my life. I tell this story on the mission trip, but that year I was a young adult pastor at a mega church, and I took a trip in 1987 to the beach with all of our young adults. We had a big, huge young adult group, about 100 young adults that Tracy and I led, and went to the beach, and the whole thing was supposed to be a witnessing thing, but it was really primarily just a fun trip. And, you know, we came back, and I remember the bus company saying to me, hey, you had such a great trip, and it was such a success. Why don't you go ahead and schedule it for next year? The problem was, between that time and when I got back from that trip, I had scheduled a mission trips. First one I never led, it was to the nation of Mexico. It was to the city of Monterrey, which is a city of several million. It's the third largest city in Mexico. 1987, I end up just with a life-changing experience. By the way, Tracy and I weren't married at that point, but we were on that first mission trip together, and it was awesome. And so if you're looking for a spouse, by the way, that's a good place to find one. It's not where I found her, but that's where I knew absolutely that she had the same heart and calling, and that was awesome for us. But it was life-changing. It was absolutely life-changing. I came back, I said, no more trips to the beach. We're going to focus on what God's calling us to here in missions. And literally, you know, this is embarrassing, but my pastor got upset with me at some point because literally we were keeping the road hot between Louisville, Kentucky, and Monterrey, Mexico, because we got down there, we saw God using us, we were just young, we were zealous, we were passionate for Jesus, God was using us, people were getting saved, hundreds of people were getting saved, we're like, man, we got to keep doing this. So my pastor came and said, you're being gone too much, you're either planning a trip, going on a trip, or just coming back from a trip. You got to stop going so much. So, you know, God was really in that because it caused me to have to delegate. So I found some other leaders in our young adult group. I said, let's keep going. You just got to lead this one. You got to lead this one. I had one guy who worked full-time at General Electric, went on the first 17 trips with me. Can you imagine that? It was awesome. But we kept the road hot, literally. I think we went close to 20 times to Monterey in vans from Louisville, Kentucky. It's about a 36-hour drive, by the way. It's a long ways. Cody over here, my good buddy Cody, is getting ready to go to Monterey here pretty soon. I'm excited for you, Cody. Changed my life, and it'll change yours too. So anyway, we were doing that. It was amazing. And then a pastor came to me one day and said, hey, you got such a passion for this. Why don't you be our missions pastor? They'd never had an official missions pastor in that church. So here, all of a sudden, you know, it goes from getting kind of, reprimanded to now, hey, you know what? This is a passion. Why don't you open up? So now, all of a sudden, the whole church, we got the whole church going all over the world. We were doing multiple trips a year. We were doing big missions banquets. We were raising thousands and thousands of dollars for missions. It was just an exciting time. So you can imagine when the time came to start New Song, that right from the very beginning, we're like, okay, this church is going to have a DNA for the Great Commission. In fact, the name of my message today is A Great Commitment to the Great Commission. And I think every church worth its salt needs to have a great commitment to the Great Commission. One of the great theologians, a German theologian named Emil Brunner, said this, that the church exists by mission the way a fire exists by oxygen. You take away oxygen, the fire goes out. You take away mission from the church has no purpose to survive and exist. Jesus started a missions movement. And guess what? He has a church to be a part of that. See, we get it mixed around sometimes. We think it's the church and then mission is secondary. Mission's primary and the church exists to support the mission. So there's one of the greatest things, John Piper says it this way, that missions isn't ultimate, worship is. But missions exist because worship doesn't. And one day, you know, worship's going to go on throughout all of eternity. In fact, I want to once again just kind of analogize for you here this morning that, you know, if I had a cable and I had a crossbow and I shot it through that wall and that cable just kept going and going and going and going as far as the eye could see, all the way in that direction, and then shot it this way and it went this way all the way as far as the eye could see. And that cable was stretched taut just out over the horizon line. If you can imagine that with me for a moment, and then right here, on that line, this little scratch, you and I are living on the scratch. If that line represents eternity, and you and I are called to eternity, to be with Jesus, to live for him for all of our lives, and we just finished our message series on There Is Another World. We're not just living for this temporary moment. We're living for eternity. And let me tell you, what you do on this in this life, in these days, counts for eternity. And it will absolutely determine how you spend eternity. There's going to be a judgment, even for those of us who are believers, and we will answer for how we lived our lives on the scratch. On the temporary time frame we had here. Are you a witness? Are you going? Are you sending? Are you praying? Are you living with a Great Commission mindset and focus? Rick Warren said it this way, and I love it, love it, love it. He said, a great commitment to the great commandments and the Great Commission will make a great Christian and a great church. And I absolutely believe that's true. If you were to take the Bible, the 66 books, the however many verses and chapters Chelsea talked about, and condense it down into just kind of, you know, the Bible for dummies. How about that? Then I think here's what you'd get, the great commandments and the great commission. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and being. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. If you kind of reduce it all down to the gospel for dummies, I think that's what you have. And I'm a simple guy. So I need it kind of simplified. That helps me an awful lot. But how are you living on the scratch? How are you living? How are you investing? You know your life is an investment for eternity. Jesus says, right? He says, don't lay up treasures here on this earth. There are things, I don't know about you, but there, you know, God supplies all my needs, but he has not met all my wants. I have a whole lot of things that I want for in this life, and I have to continue to surrender those to Jesus because I feel a higher call and purpose to what he's called me to. And I'd rather give my life in pursuing him and in living for him and doing without some of those pleasures, some of those niceties in this life and be investing ahead. The Bible says, don't lay up treasures here on earth. Lay them up in heaven where neither moth nor rust can corrupt. Amen? I don't know. We need to live with that light and that idea. Let me run through a few things with you this morning. And then in just a little bit, we're going to pray over our mission team today. When you think about Matthew chapter 28 and the Great Commission, there's a lot more to it than what we often think. And I want to kind of give you a framework to think about it this morning and to look at it this morning. So first of all, there's the great claim. There's the great claim. And let me just read it to you. So that you hear it again afresh this morning. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Can you say the words all authority? All authority has been given to Jesus. Remember, the devil stole what was originally man's. The devil stole it. There in the garden, through his lies and deception, Jesus came to recover that which was stolen, that which was lost, and to reinstitute it, the authority that were given to Adam and Eve in the beginning, the dominion. Jesus has come to restore that. All authority's been given to me on heaven and earth. And then listen, because of that, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the great claim. All authority has been given to me. If Jesus has all authority, then why should we worry when we go into a place where it's dangerous? Why should we worry when we go into a place that's uncomfortable? Why should we worry? See, the problem is most of us are living our lives very comfortably. And we don't want to leave our comfort zones. But Jesus is saying, all authority's been given to me, therefore go. And literally it means in the Greek text, it's one of those continuous verbs. Go, keep on going, as you go, as you go, as you go. And it's very interesting because in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you know, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit's come upon you, go into all the world, preach the gospel, go into Samaria, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And if you don't obey Acts 1:8, you know what you get? Acts 8:1. Acts 8:1 is what we call in church history the great diaspora. It's when literally persecution hits the church in Jerusalem with such intensity that because they haven't obeyed, now God forces them and forces the issue. And the apostles are scattered throughout the known world at that time. Thomas goes to India and the other disciples go to other nations and preach the gospel. And 11 out of the 12, well, actually 12 out of the 13 lay their lives, no, 11 out of the 13 lay their lives down for Jesus in proclaiming the gospel in different nations. John survives. He was thrown into a pot of boiling oil and sent to Patmos. And then, of course, we know what happened to Judas, but and Matthias, even who replaced Judas, he gives his life. So it's amazing, the great claim. God's given us authority. He has all authority, and he gives that authority to us for the task at hand, which is world evangelization. And then there's the Great Commission, go and make disciples. I'm not going to read the verses again, but it's It should be the thing, quite honestly, guys, if we're truly following Jesus, that is over us every day and that we're wrestling with, okay, God, how do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How can I be a part of spreading your love, your life, your gospel, your good news to this world? How? And we should be all about that, whether God calls us to be a teacher or calls us to work on an assembly line or calls us to be an engineer, whatever it is. How do you want to use my life for your glory to see this gospel to go around the world? I can pray, I can send, I can go. How do you want to use me? And then there's the great condition. This is very interesting. In Luke chapter 24, it says, he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the church, or for the Christ, to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry, everybody say tarry. It's not a word we use very often these days, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued. Everybody say endued with power from on high. But you shall receive, Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You should be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Here's what Jesus is saying. Don't go until you receive the power. But once you've received the power, do not stay. Don't go until you receive the power, but once you've received the power, do not stay. I don't know about you, but you know that was a defining moment for me, a big-time defining moment when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you're reading with us through the book of Acts, you'll notice there are several occasions in the book of Acts where individuals receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And in empowering an endowment of power from on high, it's a separate and subsequent experience to salvation. And it empowers them to be witnesses. That's the reason for it. Not so we can have Holy Ghost camp meetings and shout and holler and dance, but so we can go into all the world as empowered witnesses of Jesus. That's the reason for the baptism with the Holy Spirit. That's the core. When I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, I started leading a group of young people to downtown Louisville. I've told you some of those stories. Man, we had crazy things happen, amazing things happen. But I was an empowered witness. And I couldn't help but share that love with others. And I saw miracles and I saw salvations. And at times there was a price to pay, but God was there and it was amazing. And I want to continue to live my life with that kind of passion for Jesus, going and making a difference in this world. And then there's the great commitment, and I absolutely love this. Let me tell you, these words are so very true. And unless you've been, you probably can't tell these words and understand them to the depth that I think you need to. Jesus says at the end of the Great Commission, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I told you the story last week of a group of South Korean believers who went to the Middle East as witnesses and ended up being captured by ISIS and thrown into a pit and neglected and tortured. And they had it was certainly a scary experience. Eventually, they were rescued. Eventually, they were taken from the pit. But some of these South Korean believers said something that was so shocking to many. They said, you know what? We want to go back. And maybe that doesn't even make sense to you, that you'd go, why would you want to go back to a pit where you're being tortured and deprived? And the South Korean Christian said this, you know what? We felt Jesus like we'd never had before. There was a depth and an intimacy in our experience with him like we'd never had before. It wasn't that they wanted to be tortured and deprived. It was that Jesus was with them in a way that's almost unexplainable. That story resonates throughout history with people who have been thrown into prison, people who have been persecuted for their faith in Christ. Jesus is there with them. Even in short-term missions, when we're, you know, giving up the comforts of home and, you know, giving up our soft bed and our warm showers, et cetera, you know, big deal. That's not that much to give up, certainly. But I tell you, there's something about Jesus just being with you that is so powerful and so precious. And then there's the great confirmation. These signs shall follow. Mark chapter 16 talks about signs following those who believe. Notice it doesn't say that we are to follow after the signs. it says that the signs follow after us when we are living out the Great Commission. People ask all the time, Pastor Jeff, why don't we see miracles here in America? You know, I think in so many ways it's because we've become so faithless and we've become so comfortable. And when you get out there and you start living out the gospel and you start laying down your life, giving up your comforts, that the gospel might go to another tribe, another person, another people. Let me tell you, miracles do happen. Miracles do happen. It wasn't long ago that David Platt, who's the head of the Southern Baptist Mission Board based out of Atlanta, Georgia, David Platt, who was the author of Radical, he told the story about a man who was raised from the dead in Indonesia. It shook things up in the Southern Baptist Convention because they don't normally talk a lot about raising the dead. But it was a story verified of a man who was raised from the dead by a team that was just preaching the gospel and in simple obedience to the Great Commission. You want to see miracles? Get out and do it. They'll follow you. But you know, when we come together and we try to put on a miracle show, listen, that's when we get the cart before the horse and things don't quite go the way they should and people start going, what is that all about? You know what? In simple obedience to the gospel and going into all the world, listen, great things begin to happen. Amen? And then number six, the great completion. The great completion is this, a worshiping community from every people on the face of the planet. In Revelation 7, 9 through 10, it says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations. That word is ethne. It literally means people groups. Of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits under the throne and to the Lamb. One day, that great completion is going to happen. And people are going to be gathered from every single people group on this planet. And there's varying estimates of how many people groups there are. Something like 6,000 in some people's estimation. And everyone is going to have someone there praising the Lord because the church took the Great Commission seriously and took the gospel, even at sacrifice, even at difficulty, that others might, other worshipers might be made. And then there's going to be, lastly, the great celebration, the wedding supper of the Lamb. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, Revelation 19. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous act of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. One day, there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb where the celebration of the completion of Christ's great commission has happened. And let me just say, okay, if I could just say it this way, it's going to be the biggest, most amazing party ever. I'm not kidding. It's going to be the throwdown party. Amen? It's going to be amazing. We're going to celebrate changed lives that have been redeemed by the Lamb who laid his life down. By the blood of the Lamb, the people are ransomed from every people group, every nation. It's going to be the most multi-ethnic event you can imagine. I mean, you know, and by the way, our church ought to reflect that even now. We ought to be, you know, believers absolutely should be colorblind. It doesn't matter what race, what creed, what background. Man, we need to be reaching, touching people, loving people, because Jesus loves every person and every people group. Amen? And the church ought to be demonstrating that. Well, I'm excited this morning to pray over this mission team and to have you praying for us and joining us in this incredible mission that God has called us to. I'm excited. The team is excited. Great things lay ahead. Let me read to you an advertisement that was put in a newspaper long ago, and I just kind of like this thing. It's just cool. Men wanted for a hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. That advertisement appeared in a London newspaper, and thousands of men responded. Thousands of men responded. It was signed by the noted Arctic explorer, Sir Ernest Shackleton, and that was what made the difference. If Jesus had advertised for workers, the announcement might have read something like this. Okay? Men and women wanted for the difficult task of helping to build my church. You'll often be misunderstood, even by those working with you. You'll face constant attack from an invisible enemy. You may not see the results of your labor, and your full reward will not come till after all your work is completed. It may cost you your home, your ambitions, even your life. That's what Jesus is calling us to. A great commitment to the Great Commission. Amen. I'm going to have our mission team come on up. Holtzwurst, everybody else, come on up, would you please? And I want to get us prayed for here. Let's get you guys lined up across the front. I'll tell you what, go ahead and stand up, congregation. If you want to come and lay hands on one of these team members. And Danny Brewer, I'm going to ask you as one of our leaders here to come and pray over us, if you would, please. By the way, Gina, can I tell about the party today?
Yes.
4 o'clock at the Miller's house, big blowout, 4th of July celebration. Crawfish, even, if you're interested, it's going to be interesting. So come on out and enjoy that celebration. But come on around this team, put hands on them, lay hands on them, and let's pray together that God will go with us and bless